Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for your word. Your word that speaks to us of your love for your creation and how we might find you in that creation and in our own very lives. Help us to hear and understand, and help us to believe that it is the truth and have the will to follow it. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. There's a wonderful story that I came across about three older widows who lived together. And one sister got up to go to bed, and halfway up the steps she stopped and said, "Was I going up or coming down?" And one sister replied with a sense of hint of aggravation, "You were going up to bed." A second sister headed into the kitchen to make herself a sandwich. And at once she was in the kitchen, she hollered back to the sister who was still downstairs, "What did I come in here for?" The sister responded again with a trace of irritation, "You went in to make yourself a sandwich." After which she said, "I am so glad I'm not as forgetful as both of you are," as she knocked on the end of the coffee table. Then she got up, walked over to the door and said, "Who is it?" We spend a lot of time remembering. And it aggravates us when we can't remember something that we know we should remember. An aggravation we experience more often as we get older, as I'm finding out. Our memory, though, provides touch points for us and for our lives as we remember past things. And it helps us to understand who we are and where we've come from. Our memories give us hope as we remember difficult times that we've experienced before and the fact that we got through them and how we got through them. So that when we go through other difficult times, we can draw on those memories that we've learned. Our memories provide a real sense of connectedness. Connectedness not with just our history, but with those who share our memories. Who remember the things that we do because they were there as well. They have the other half, so to speak, of the memory. I've shared with you before how when my maternal grandmother, my Grandma Tucker, developed Alzheimer's. And she got, I remember the first time I saw her after it got so bad that she did not remember me to be her grandson. And I remember how difficult it was because it felt like all of a sudden those things that we had that history of didn't happen because I didn't have her half of the memory to connect and make the whole. The Christmas mornings when she was waiting in her car in our driveway before we even got up. The New Year's Day dinner in her little tiny apartment. The many high school papers she proofread and typed for me. I had a history with this woman. And she didn't remember me. She did not remember any of it. Memory is so important. And this is what brings us to the passage we heard from John. Our passage is the last part of a larger section that goes over several chapters called the Final Discourse. Jesus is at the Last Supper with his disciples, and he knows the end is near, and he still has things he needs to teach the disciples. But he also knows that he doesn't have enough time to teach them all of it. And so here at the end of the discourse, he says, "I will not leave you orphaned." Now, was talking to the disciples. But he was also talking to the people that John wrote the gospel for, which came about 60 to 70 years later. He was talking to you and I. I will not leave you orphan. You see, by this time, by the time the Gospel of John was written, most or all of the disciples were dead. There were very few, if any, eyewitnesses left to his life, his teachings, his ministry. Time was moving on. And Jesus had not come back. He said, I will come back, but he hadn't come back yet. And the continuum was getting longer between the time he died and the time of the people that were reading it and worshiping him. He was becoming a distant memory in the history of the people. That's why I think the Gospels were written, at least partially. Each one of them had a different reason for being written, but also written to remind the people of Jesus, of who he was, what he said, what he did. They needed to be reminded of who he was, the life and the history of this man of Nazareth. And so the Gospels created a touchstone for the people with Jesus. And this promise, I will not leave you orphaned, and the writing of the Gospels is where the advocate changes memory to presence. Reverend Dr. Barbara Munblad, professor of preaching at Union Theological Seminary in New York City, where my daughter will begin attending seminary in September. She wrote a sermon on this passage from John. She writes, Jesus didn't call the disciples to hold up his life as memory, but as presence. I will not leave you orphaned, Jesus said. I am coming to you. What a strange thing to say on the night of betrayal and arrest. He should have said, I'm leaving you. Jesus didn't deny what was going to happen. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, Jesus said. But you will see me because I live. You will also live. She goes on to say, Jesus was calling his disciples to live and love in ways that seemed impossible. They couldn't do it, not without the Spirit. The Spirit is the other thing, repeated over and over around the table. Sometimes Jesus says the advocate, like someone who stands beside you in a court of law. Sometimes he says helper. Sometimes Spirit of truth. And when Jesus said, I am coming to you, he didn't mean he would return like an old friend from a long journey. Jesus would be with believers in a different way. Or perhaps we should say that God will be with them in a different way, because Jesus has been here. The eternal cosmic word of God became flesh in Jesus. That's what the gospel, what is at the beginning of the Gospel of John. The Spirit, which blew like a wind over the face of the deep in creation, took on flesh in the one who now sat with them at the table. The living word had just bent down to wash the disciples' dirty feet. You can't get much more down to earth than that. But Jesus was very clear. The Spirit that dwells in me will abide also in you. The same Spirit that gave power to the life and ministry of Jesus, the Christ, dwells in us. Because we know that's how Jesus wants it. That's why he gives it. You know, in the sacrament of communion, Holy Communion, it's a sacrament because Jesus said, do this remembering me. Now, It's easy to think of communion as a memory or a memorial to Christ. And I think that's how many Christians think of communion. It's a memorial. We remember Jesus. But it becomes presence when we understand that if Jesus were here with us in person, and he is, but I meant, you know, in a physical way, he would say the words to us. This is my blood and my body poured out and broken for you and you and you and all of us. And when we realize that, then it goes far beyond memory and memorial to the very presence of Christ in our midst. The Holy Spirit, the Advocate, the Helper, ties us to Jesus in a way that gives us power and hope. You know, we all have happy memories. But you know, I sometimes when I think, and I've especially noticed this on Facebook, that a lot of times members of my high school friends and others, their parents are gone now, just like mine, and they put up these pictures remembering your mom, remembering your dad, and there's a wistful sadness about it. And I think that's how what memories do to us sometimes. We remember better days. We remember people who aren't here anymore. But the presence is different. The presence empowers us, emboldens us, helps us to persist. Dr. Lundblad shares the story. She said, years ago, I read something rather odd. The reason mountain climbers are tied together is to keep the sane ones from going home. Now, whoever said that was playing with us a bit, she says. For we know mountain climbers are tied together to keep from getting lost or from going over a cliff. But there's another piece of truth here. When things get tough up on the mountain, when fear sets in, many a climber is tempted to say, this is crazy, I'm going home. The life of faith can be like that. Doubts set in. Despair overwhelms us. And the whole notion of believing in God seems crazy. Jesus knew his disciples would have days like that. So he told them, we're tied together like branches on the vine, or like climbers tied to a rope, tied together by the Spirit to trust in one who is always more than we can understand. To keep us moving ahead on the journey of faith. To encourage us when believing seems so absurd. I will not leave you orphaned, said Jesus. I'm coming to you. Through the Spirit, we are tied to love, we are tied to power, we are tied to hope. Jesus said something very interesting in our reading last week from the first 14 verses of chapter 14. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact, will do far greater works than these because I am going to the Father. That's the power that you can get from the Spirit to do the works of Jesus or even to do bigger works. Because we know that Jesus and his love are for us and are behind us in the sending of the Spirit. Therefore, when we feel down, when we feel despair, when we feel lost, we can have the very presence of Christ that will enable us to keep going to get to the other side. Because that was what the kind of life Jesus lived. He enabled others. Think of all the people he helped and healed in his short 3 years of ministry. He fed them, he healed them, he guided them, he loved them, he saved them. And it was that same Spirit that led the disciples to leave that upper room where they had been cocooned out of fear of the Jews after Jesus was crucified on that day of Pentecost. And they went out, and Peter stood boldly in public and preached the good news. They continued the spiritual movement that Christ started. It was the Spirit He promised to send and has sent that will make all this possible. Yes, there was a time when Jesus walked the roads of earth literally. He still walks them. His presence is still with us in the Advocate. The Advocate that He has sent so that we would not be spiritual orphans, but that we may have life and have it abundantly. Amen.